Thanks for listening to this podcast. For more information about the City Gate, visit www.thecitygate.org.
There's such a strong anointing in here tonight. There's such a thick presence of the Lord that it's one of those meetings where I'm finding it a little bit difficult even to know where to go, because you could go so many directions with this. I feel as strong an anointing and presence of the Lord in here this evening as I've felt in a very long time. And I don't think that's just related to what the Lord wants to do tonight, although that would be and will be great, right? I mean, that's great that God's here tonight. But I don't think it's just about tonight. I think it's about this region right now. I think God is very desirous to move by His Spirit in Arkansas. Amen. I'm surprised. I feel the same strength, maybe stronger, than I felt when I was in, was it Conway?
Conway.
3 or 4 months ago. I don't know, 5 months. I don't know how long it was, but 3 months ago. And I was a little bit taken back there because I always expect the Lord to show up, but it seemed stronger then than what I was expecting. So the fact that that's happening here again tonight makes me just think there really is something that God is wanting to do in this region. I don't think it's just Arkansas. I think it's, you know, this whole region of the nation. But I do think there are pockets that if they will really cooperate with the Lord, they can move into what He's doing earlier, sooner, more quickly than others. It's like they're more ready. It's like maybe, well, everybody else is 6, 7 months, they're 9 months. They're ready to birth, you know. I feel that here. Almost feel like this region could just break into revival in any minute. I feel that. I just, you know, of course, my friends here know that I don't talk this way very often. I mean, I don't just go in and try to make people feel good. I truly do feel this. So I'm really, you know, trying to be careful tonight to make sure that I set the table for my part of this service for the Lord to do what He wants to do. One thing I want to do just to start with is I want to read. I found in my notes, digging through one of my files, 6 things that the Lord told me in Conway for Arkansas. And I just felt the Lord wanted me to not preach this, but to give these same 6 things here just quickly for you that I heard Him saying over this region. And so if you're going to write them down, you're going to have to write pretty quickly, because I'm not going to take 3 or 4 or 5 minutes with each one like I would in a sermon. I'm just going to give it briefly, and then hopefully you can write fast. But He said, I'm hovering over this region. So I talked about the hovering, brooding presence of the Holy Spirit. I believe He's hovering. And when He does, that is always associated in Scripture with Him birthing something new. There's a chapter or two in my book, Intercessory Prayer, about Holy Spirit hovering. It's what He did at creation, when He coughed over creation and birthed what Jesus was decreeing. He said, I'm hovering over this region. Then second thing I heard was, the wind of my Spirit is blowing. The wind of my Spirit is blowing. And I talked about that a little. I don't have time to develop it tonight. But then this was, I thought, interesting. He said, thirdly, the hidden pockets of my glory and my presence are about to be made manifest in Arkansas. Amen. Hidden pockets of glory, of His presence. Hidden places. What came to me when I was getting this was that there are places that are not known of right now as being anything really significant happening. They're just places where God's been behind the scenes getting things ready, just like he did at the house of Cornelius. And then all of a sudden, Peter shows up and he thinks he's going to have to work real hard and get these Gentiles saved. And God just interrupts his message and baptizes them in the Holy Ghost. So, you know, these guys are ready. I don't need a flowery message. I just need you to say go. And I feel like that's the word. There are hidden pockets where God is ready. And he's going to surprise some people when he starts moving there. Then fourthly, I heard him say, I'm about to manifest power. I'm going to make known my power with miracles. And I remember feeling that night, I think it was a night, not a morning, when I gave this message there. I remember being surprised at what I was seeing in my spirit. That this was not just a little, we're going to make a few legs grow an inch and adjust a back and somebody gets a little adjustment. This was significant stuff. This was signs and wonders. This was extraordinary miracles. I actually think Arkansas could be one of the hubs in the whole earth for God's miracle power and this coming move of God. And I can't even begin to tell you why. I don't know why. I don't know, you know, God doesn't love you more than he loves somebody else. I'm not sure why. I just feel that. And I feel it again tonight. There is an explosion of power that's about to be unleashed in this region. I think people come from all over the nation, maybe the world, to receive miracles right here in Arkansas. Fifth thing I heard him say was, wineskins are about to change. You know, and I did a little teaching on wineskins and what that means. But you've got to have a wineskin that's ready for the new. And I feel like that's already happening. Not happened, but happening.
Yes.
I feel like even tonight during the worship, I feel like God is preparing this region. He's working on people and hearts to get it ready for something. He's working on the wineskins. You know, when wine ferments, or when juice ferments into wine, it expands. And that wineskin takes on all kinds of shapes. It's not perfectly symmetrical. It can get a little bulge here, a little bulge there. It's got to be flexible not to break when that happens. But the point is, who knows what it's going to look like? I mean, it's just got to be flexible. But wineskins are changing. And the sixth thing I heard, and this was unusual. This I think was a sign. When God does this, it'll be a sign, but it's more than a sign. I heard him say oil is going to flow from Arkansas. And it was not the oil of the Spirit. I heard him say oil is going to flow in Arkansas and from Arkansas. I don't know how oil rich they think Arkansas is, but I'm going to tell you right now, it's rich with oil and natural resources. And I don't know what they're about to discover or what's about to be unlocked, but I'm going to tell you right now, there are some wealthy people here in Arkansas that don't know it yet. And all I got to say about that is, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Mash. I believe, literally, that wealth is coming to this state. And the economy is literally going to turn in a significant way. But that's not just so we can be wealthy. When God does something like that, it's so that yes, we can prosper, but that's so His covenant can be known in the earth. Deuteronomy chapter 8. He's going to entrust it to people that can be trusted with it. So anyway, that's what He spoke to me 3 months ago, and I feel it burning in my spirit again tonight. The other thing, as I kept hearing when I was standing there in worship, is I kept hearing the Lord talk about the river of His Spirit is here. Now, Clay started talking about the river rising, and I feel like the Lord wants me to talk about that for a few minutes. When God starts talking about His river, He's talking about life. The river of life. The river of His Spirit is a river of living water. And when you find the picture of it in Ezekiel 47, He says everything lived that came in contact with the river. Things that were dead, and even in that vision that the prophet saw, when the river of God made it to the Dead Sea, it came alive. It overcame the salt, the death that nothing could live there, and it literally began to teem with fish. So everything, it says, was healed and received life from the river. Of course, it's pictured again in Revelation when the river of God flows down out from the throne, and the water was for the healing of the nations. The trees fed the trees, and then the leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nations. But that came from the river. When God starts talking about His river, He's talking about Him pouring out His Spirit. A river is something more than just to have fun in. One of the things that worried me a little back in the 90s when people were talking about getting in the river, it was just almost as though the saints wanted to party. And I got no problem with having the joy of the Lord and having fun, but the river is for more than just us being ministered to. It's to bring life to us and to the world. So I'm hearing the Lord talk about that. Let me just read a few verses. I read a couple of these this morning at Clay's. I'm going to read them again because they're still burning in my heart. Isaiah 42:9. Behold, the former things have come to pass. Now I declare new things. And before they spring forth, I proclaim them to you. There's an evolving process of God that is always happening, and then there are times when things spring forth. We are in a springing forth season. We're in a season where things are going to happen very quickly. Suddenlies will occur. And we're going to have to be ready to move with God very quickly. Chapter 43 says it again, 19. Behold, I will do something new. Do is the word perform or create. Asah, I will create something new. Now it will spring forth. There's the word again. Will you not be aware of it? I will even make a roadway in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. See, God can bring water to dry places. He can bring life. The symbolism there is He can bring life to dead places. Wilderness, there is one of the two words used in Genesis, where the earth was without form and void. Really what it means more than anything else is barren, unable to produce life. He said, I'm coming to the barren places, and I'm going to awaken them with my life. And I'm bringing the river to the desert places, and I'm going to cause them to live. One more passage that mentions the river or this new thing God's about to do, and it's Isaiah 48:6. You have heard, look at all this, and will you not declare it? I proclaim to you new things from this time, even hidden things which you have not known. And I believe that's saying essentially the same thing Jeremiah 33:3 says, I'm about to do some things that you've never seen before. Great and mighty things. Those are words for us, and I think we need to be very sober about receiving here in this region. That God's about to do something new. I think God's going to do some things that will be so radically new and different. Arkansas will never be the same. And Arkansas has never seen what God's about to do. So, let me just share a little bit more about the river. I heard the Lord say a while back, the winter season is over. And that took me to Ezekiel 47, where it talks about the river that flows out from the temple. And it begins as a trickle and gets to ankles, knees, and waist, and then becomes a deep river. But one of the things that the reason that word winter season is over reminded me of that passage is that the word river there is not a normal term for river. It's a word that means a winter torrent. And it's not called a winter torrent because it flows in the winter. It's called a winter torrent because it's created by winter. It's a river formed from the melting ice and snow on the mountains. So in the spring, and I used to see this in Colorado every year, we got all of our water from the ice and the snow melt. So every spring, it would melt, and then if you go to the top of the mountain, you'd see a little trickle, just like Ezekiel saw. But you'd see lots of little trickles. They're just everywhere. And then it would come together and form a little, just a little ditch, a little 6-inch. And then those would come together and form maybe an ankle-deep gully, and then those would come together and form a stream. And then the streams, by the time you get to the valley, they would come together and form a river. And in the late spring and summer in Colorado, those rivers would just rise and become fierce, just rushing torrents. And that's what Ezekiel saw. He saw a spring melt. He saw the warmth of spring. He didn't see that. That's what I'm talking about. But that's the language. And it started as a trickle and it began to build. And what we need to see from that is he was seeing the end of a winter and the beginning of a spring and summer season. And when the Lord said that to me, I knew that he was saying to me, my river is about to flow again. The river of my spirit is going to intensify and increase in depth and begin to flow in a significant way. I had a vision of this river in 1997. It was my birthday, March the 10th, 1997. Sunday morning. They wanted to bless me and pray for me, so my congregation, somebody, they gathered around me. This was during the service. When they gathered around me and prayed for me, the Lord just carried me away in the spirit. One of the two most significant vision, trance type encounters I've ever had with the Lord. I lay on the floor completely just in another place. and spiritually, I was just out, and I was in this moving vision, which in my vision was, it lasted for several days. But in reality, at time, it was only 45 minutes. And in this vision, the Lord took me around the world and showed me different things. When I first started, he was standing in a river waist deep, and I knew it was the river of life. And he said to me, "Come on, get in." And I was a little bit intimidated. I didn't know what he was doing. And I just kind of stood there, and he said, "Come on, get in." And he started splashing me. And I remember he was laughing at me, and he was really having fun. He was laughing at me because I was so shocked by all of this. And he was literally laughing. He wasn't just chuckling. He was laughing. And I remember it being the first time I'd ever thought about God having fun. I was a little embarrassed. I thought, I've never envisioned God before ever having fun. But he was. I just always thought he was religious. And he's not religious at all. He was normal, except that he was God. So I went down in the water, and then he started messing with me. Started splashing me, dunking me. I tried to dunk him. He would go into the water and he'd shake his head and throw water in my face and laugh. And then he'd grab me and get on my back and push me under the water. I was just freaking out. Because I thought, you're supposed to be dignified. You can't do this. And he was just having a good time. And I remember at one point I went under the water. And I shook my head underwater. And when I came up out of the water, I could see impurities floating away from me in the river. The water was just cleansing me. Junk, just anything unclean or that wasn't pure, just floated off. And I remember going under the water and I swallowed a mouthful of water, or a gulp full, and I expected to just start gagging and coughing like you normally would, but instead it just went into me and it just went all through my body, and it just brought life and refreshing to me. You couldn't drown in the river. You could just drink it and you could take it into you, but you couldn't drown in it. And I just then found myself in this vision, realizing this is the river of life. This is not a natural river. I could feel it. I could see it. I could taste it. But I knew all of a sudden, I didn't know I was in a vision. It was real to me. And I realized this is the river of life, but it's different. And at one point, I remember saying to the Lord, "Now, Lord," because I got a little more comfortable when I started interacting with him. And I said, "I'm a little curious as to why you're in waist-deep water." Because my concept of Ezekiel was that the deeper water was, you get a trickle, and then you get knees, and you get waist, and then you get deep stuff. And the more spiritual you get, the deeper it gets. So if you're just a baby Christian, you get a trickle. And then if you're a real mature Christian, or if it's a real mature move of God, you get the deep stuff. But I said, "Why are you? You should be in the deep stuff." He said, "This level is to refresh my people. The deep waters are for the nations, to carry my life to the nations." And when he said that, the water level just went, whoop. And off we went. And then he brought the water level back down and we started frolicking some more. And I know what I'm about to tell you sounds really strange, but I'm just going to tell you what he did, and you can mess with him all you want. This is just what he did. He caused a geyser to shoot up about 30 feet. And he and I were carried up that geyser. And when we got up into the heavens, off we went to the nations on this journey. And everywhere we went, the river was there. And when we would come to another nation, we would be in the river again. And this was what was fascinating, because people would come up to the banks of the river and see us. Well, I thought they were seeing us. Turns out they were just seeing me. And they would be watching us, and they would be afraid to get in, thinking, who are these strange people, or who's this strange person? And he would say, come on, get in. And they just wouldn't respond. And then he would splash them. And when the water hit them, it was like they became infected with something, and they couldn't resist any longer. And they would dive in the river and begin splashing and enjoying its life. And I realized that if you can ever touch them with the true presence of the Lord, the life of God that comes from His presence, if they ever touch it, if it ever touches them, they can't resist it anymore. It was really strange. It was like as soon as it hit them, they were overcome by it and they couldn't stand not to be in it. And then we went to another place, and there was a lady that was dying of some disease. I don't know what it was. I think it was cancer. And she came into the water, and the Lord looked at me and he said, go ahead, heal her. And I said, and I was intimidated, because I thought, well, you need to do that. And you're the healer. And he said, no, you do that. I said, well, Lord, I just feel awkward trying to do that with you here. So I said, I just feel intimidated trying to do that with you here. He said, this is when I first time I realized they didn't see him. He said, she can't see me. She can only see you. Now go ahead and heal her. And I went over to her. She was in the waist deep water, and I walked over to her and I put my hand on her. And when I touched her, the Lord came up behind me and he put his hand right in the middle of my back. And power went through me and through my hand into her. Wow. And she was instantly healed. And we went to another place. We went to several different places, parts of the earth. We went one place where it was just very primitive, people living in these sort of grass, thatched roof huts. Then we ended up, at one point, we went to Chernobyl. I don't know why. I just knew we were in Chernobyl. And there were people sick from the nuclear fallout, the radiation. And there was a kid there with a little girl with a deformed hand. And the Lord said, I want you to go ahead and heal her hand. Well, I felt like I knew what was going to happen. So when I touched her and the Lord touched me, the Lord recreated her deformed hand in front of my eyes. And I realized the power of this river. when it says everything is healed, everything lives where the river goes, that's really the word Rapha in Ezekiel 47. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer. What it really says is everything is healed where the river goes. Your spirit's healed and has life. Your soul is healed. Your body is healed. There's one point, I don't suppose there's any need to share this, but I will. We left there and we went to a beach. And we went back up into the heavens and went to another place and came. This time we weren't in a river, we were on a beach. And my wife and daughters were there. And I said, "What are we doing, Lord?" He said, "You're going to take a little break and celebrate your birthday." And I said, "Lord, we can't take a break. We can't do that. There's lots of more villages and places in the earth we have to go." He said, "I have lots of other people too." That's what he said to me. He said, "Oh, I got lots of people taking the river and going." He said, "You have to take a break once in a while." And then he came to me with a birthday cake. And my family came up and they said, "Surprise." It's like they in the dream, they knew it was going to, or in the vision, they knew it was going to happen. And it was carrot cake, which is my favorite. And I said, "Lord, I can't believe you got me a cake." And he said, "Why can't you believe I got you a cake?" I said, "Well, because you're God. You don't do things like this." And he just laughed. And he said, I said, "Well, cut the cake." He said, "Cut the cake? We're not going to cut the cake." He started grabbing pieces of it and handing it out. And I just remember looking at him thinking. And then he looked at me and he said, "You need to lighten up." He said, "I'm telling you what he said." He said, "You need to lighten up. We're not going to cut the cake. We're going to have some fun." And then the vision was over. And when I came to, I realized they told me, what's been going on with you? Because, the service was over. People had left. And I just came to. And he said, "We can hear you mumbling, and you would move, your body would move, you would do things with your hands, and what was going on?" I said, "I just need to process this a little bit. I don't even want to talk about it yet." But I've been waiting since 1997 for the next phase of river life. Now, I've seen the little outpourings here and there, but I knew they weren't I don't want to say they weren't the real. They weren't the fullness of what's coming. That I know there's something coming that will be unlike anything we've ever seen, that will be such a force of God's life in the earth that it's going to be, hear me now, unstoppable. What he's going to do is going to be so strong, not going to be able to stop it. And I'm not sure where Arkansas is in the process. Let me say it this way. I'm not sure what depth it is. You didn't say what depth it was tonight, did you? You just said what he wanted to take it to. I'm not sure where you are, but the river's here. The river's already here in this state. It's in this region. The river was with us this weekend. The river's in Mississippi, Arkansas, Tennessee. Not much river right now in Alabama. Sorry if you're here from Alabama. They could get it, but they're behind. I'm not trying to offend anybody if you're here from Alabama. You may not be behind personally, but as a region, things got off track a little bit in Alabama. Florida's not where these are, but Florida's not too far behind. Coming along, Georgia. Louisiana, same thing. They're not quite moving. They're not as far along in what God wants to do as Mississippi, Arkansas, Tennessee, Kentucky. Kansas. I know that's a little farther away, but Missouri is fixing to get blasted. Texas is getting close. We are in a part of the nation right now that, and I'm just going to say what I feel. We're in a part of the nation here, these places that are really ripe, that could lead the way, be a first fruit, the forerunners of this river of God that's about to be released into the dry places. You bear witness to that? Do you? I know you're going to bear witness to it because you live here. Well, I mean, I trust your discernment, but you want it to be true so much that you're going to say yes. So what do you do? What do you do when you feel, when you know that the presence of the Lord is, or in the plan of God, and the move of God's Spirit is coming? What do you do to prepare? How do you get ready for it? And I'm just going to mention several things, because now this, I'm just doing this off the cuff, because I have no idea where the Lord wants to take this. You need to ramp up the prayer. I don't mean louder, I mean more of it. Zechariah 10:1 says, ask for rain from the Lord at the time of the latter rain. When it's time for, and the context there is obviously a spiritual rain, not physical rain. And the word time is eighth, which means an appointed time, a right time, an opportunity. I mean, it's the, for those of you that have done, heard studies, it's the kairos of the Old Testament. The right kairos, opportune time. That's the word that's used in Hebrew, eighth. So when it's ripe, when it's time, when there's opportunity, when you've come to that place in time where God is saying, you can have this now, what are you supposed to do? He says, ask. Ask. Don't sit back and just assume it's coming, because he works through our intercession. He needs us to partner with him. Go back and read the first two or three chapters of intercessory prayer. And we lay out the reasons why he waits for us to ask. And why he doesn't do things without us. He does things with us. Touch her, Dutch. She can't see me. I can't touch her. I need to touch her through you. It's So I put my hand on her, and now he puts his hand on my back, and he heals her through me. So he's waiting for us, and then prayer, that's what prayer does. Prayer involves God. See, that's what it does. So when it was time for rain, what did Elijah have to do? He had to birth the rain that God said, I'm about to do. So when it was time for it, he didn't get to sit back and relax. He had to birth the rain through seven different periods there, whether they were 5 minutes or 10 minutes or an hour. We don't know. Seven times travailing intercession took place. And James tells us it really was Elijah's prayers that birthed the rain. So it was God's power, and it was God's time, and it was God's will, and God initiated it. I'm going to do this, Elijah. It's time. But even though it was God's will, God's time, God's power, God's initiation, a human being still had to birth it. So God's power needed to be released from a person. So if God is saying to this region, it's time for this, I'm about to do it, you don't need to pray less, you need to pray more.
That's good.
And I don't know what that means. You just need to figure it out or hear from God yourself. I don't know if that's, you know, just get together more often in your prayer groups or in your personal time. I know what I'd do if I was a pastor in this region. I'd turn more of my corporate gatherings into prayer meetings.
Right.
Because it'd probably do more in the spirit realm if you prayed for an hour than if you preached for an hour.
That's true.
That's my nice way of saying we need prayer more than we need your preaching. So if I were in this region pastoring, I'd probably be turning many of my services into prayer times. And we'd just get a harp and bowl thing going, and we'd worship and pray and worship and pray and worship and pray. And a lot of guys won't give up their sermon. Now, they'll make the people come an hour early so they can pray. But by gosh, I'm not giving up my hour to preach. Well, we'll be okay without your preaching for a little while. I bet you we could survive for a few months without your preaching. You have to tap into what he's doing. You have to connect with it in the spirit. You have to get in the flow of what he's doing and be used by him to birth it. You have to get in the way and get out of the way at the same time. If I were leading a congregation here, I probably wouldn't be doing a lot of other activities and programs. I'd probably just be doing more and more worship and prayer, worship and prayer, worship and prayer. Forget your traditions. They don't matter. Forget normal church. That's our problem. There is no normal. Don't worry about it. Get out of those boxes and say, Lord, what would please you the most right now when we gather? And maybe you need to plan an extra time or two through the week together. And if you don't get everybody, that's okay. If there's a dozen that show up, pray for a while. And if you could pray together, some of these congregations and leaders, that would really be nice.
I think
it would be really nice if you just on purpose say, let's gather together and pray. I think there's a lot of different congregations represented here tonight. Is that right? And I felt such a pleasure of the Lord on that. I felt like some of what we were feeling in here tonight, the strength of anointing and just the strong presence that just began to just become thicker and thicker. I actually felt like the Lord was saying to me, one of the reasons for that is because he's so pleased that we're coming together. So So maybe, you know, maybe these are good. Maybe there's more strategy. Maybe not. But you get the gist of what I'm saying right now. You're going to have to get out of the normal and say, Lord, we want you to use us to birth this. What do you want to do? It's also a real good time for you to realize you don't know what to do. You can't get done what he's about to do through good ideas. You can't get there by even experience and wisdom. You must have revelation. What is he saying to us now? So the wisest thing for us to do right now would be, and for especially the leaders in this region, would be to say on a daily basis, Lord, I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to do this. Would you show me how to do this? I don't know what you want right now. Would you show us what to do right now? I don't know what you want to do with our services. Would you show us what to do? You don't get the extraordinary by continuing to do ordinary. If you're not willing to break out of your routine, you're not going to get this. You're going to have to be willing to say, business as usual is not going to happen. See, when Jesus was teaching on the hillsides there in Galilee, they left work, home, grabbed the family, and said, he's over here on the hillside. We're going to go hear him. They left work. They left homes. They didn't have hotel rooms. They camped out on the side of that hill for 3 days. Finally, he said, feed these people something. They're going to starve. There wouldn't have been a multiplying of the loaves and fishes if they were at home doing their normal routine. They had to be hungry enough to do the exceptional, the extraordinary, the bold. They had to demonstrate hunger. And I can just see Jesus thinking, you know, if they're that hungry, I'll just stay here for a while. Yeah. And I'll just teach them for a few days. Yeah. What kind of teaching is it when even your kids will sit there with you and whole families will sit there and be so being so captivated by words that they don't even want to leave to get something to eat? Yes. That's exactly what happened. Well, and he probably took a few miracle breaks. You know, that'd be fun to watch, wouldn't it? What else do we need to do to get ready for this? Some fasting would be in order. Worship gatherings would be you got to get more worship when God's about to move. For God to move, you've got to create a place for him to bring his throne and set up headquarters. And he's not drawn by your preaching. He's not drawn to our programs. I'm not saying that's wrong. He's not drawn to that. He's drawn to the worship because he loves to connect at a heart level with us. So he's drawn to the worship. So if you think you're going to keep doing 25 minutes of worship once a week and God's going to come bring revival to your church, you're going to be disappointed because that's not the way it's going to happen. You're going to have to press into his presence and worship more. I mean, If I was here in this region and I had a relationship with other leaders, I'd say, let's start gathering once a week or so, and just all of us getting together on a Friday night and just worship.
Yes.
Let's just do it on purpose. Let's come together and bring our congregations together and just worship.
Yes.
I don't normally do messages like this, okay? Because most people can't hear it and they're not ready for it anyway. It's not time. But if you're this close to what God wants to do, if you'll go the next step, God will make another step.
Come on. That's it.
And this keeps coming to me, so I'm just going to go ahead and say it. Now, this would not necessarily be one of the things I would normally put on a list of to-dos at this point, but it probably should be. And that is, I'd be making sure relationships were good.
Yes.
I'd make sure that I went and made things right with anybody I needed to.
Right.
I'd make sure any breaches in churches or leaders, families, I just go down my mental list and say, Lord, is there anybody I need to get with and make things right? Leave your gift at the altar and go make sure things are right. I want to finish with this. When God's about to move in the way I feel like He's going to move, you need to get ready for unusual things to start happening. The supernatural increases. Unexpected things start happening. God starts moving in unusual ways. Dreams increase. Angelic visitations increase. Signs and wonders begin to take place. People you would never think will be saved start getting saved. Prodigals start coming home. People start getting delivered. Drug dealers start getting saved. God starts doing unusual things. And He's going to do unusual things here, this region. God's going to do unusual things. So you need to get yourself ready for the unexpected and the unusual, the extraordinary. You need to be ready. And get ready for what God's about to do in the youth and children. And if you try to make them like you, and religious like you, and look like you, and sing like you, you'll lose what God wants to do. Because these young folks don't want to look like you or me or sing like us. There needs to be some liberty given for them to express their passion in ways that we wouldn't necessarily do. But the hillsides of Arkansas are going to be filled with young people gathering, worshiping around campfires and gatherings, and they'll swell to thousands. You'll see the returning of the outdoor concert and worship gatherings that took place in the Jesus movement in the 70s. But they will be different this time because the presence of the Lord will be much stronger. There'll be more than fun music. There will be weighty presence. The presence of the Lord will be weighty in these places, and angels will be there in abundance. And there'll be literally people strewn on the hillsides under the power of God. And some of them will spend days in the presence of the Lord. That is going to be one of the things, that type of gathering and presence will be one of the things that marks this outpouring in Arkansas. Where are the major colleges in Arkansas? What's here? I kept hearing the Lord say Arkansas State. There's coming, but I didn't know it was here. I kept hearing the Lord say there's a powerful move of His Spirit coming to Arkansas State. So what's the where's is the University of Arkansas? No, where's the other one? What's Fayetteville? What's there? University of Arkansas. Well, they're going to get in on it too, I suppose. But I kept hearing the Lord say, "You didn't trust me." I did not know it was here. Okay. I kept hearing the Lord say, "Arkansas State, Arkansas State. I'm coming to Arkansas State." Focus on the Lord right now. Just bow your heads or close your eyes or just quit, sit quietly, whatever. I just want to see if what else the Lord might want to say. You guys feel free to jump in here if you have anything to prophesy or share. Probably if you just play on the keys, maybe. I don't think we need the whole team at this point, but just something very quiet and soft. Lord, I feel Your pleasure here. I feel as though You're here because You've been invited, and it brings You pleasure to be here. But I believe, Lord, You have come because You've been invited, but now that You're here, You are here with an invitation to give to those that have invited You to come away with You to a new place in the Spirit, to cross over into the realm of supernatural manifestations of Your Spirit, to cross over into a lifestyle of the supernatural. Of partnering with angels. Amen. That are waiting for God's people. To lift the level of prayer and worship to a point that releases them to do what they're waiting to do. That God's Spirit is hovering in the atmosphere, but angels are hovering. Angels are hovering. They're hovering in the spirit realm, waiting for assignments. Those assignments will come from the Lord in response to the obedience and the prayers and the worship. These angels are ready to go to war. Come on. But they're not all war angels. Some of them are messenger angels. They're waiting to bring the word of the Lord to leaders, to people, to sinners. They're ready to bring gifts of the Holy Spirit. They will come with gifts of prophecy, words of knowledge, miracles, healings, discernings of spirits. Children will receive these gifts, not just adults. 6 and 7 year old children in this region will amaze adults as they prophesy what God is giving them. They will have angelic encounters. They will lay hands on the sick, and signs and wonders will take place through the children. Extraordinary signs and wonders will take place through the hands of children. Whenever you guys want to jump in.
How many people in the room were here in Jonesboro in 1973? Would you just stand to your feet? I know this is going to sound like a foolish question, but does anybody remember where you were on May the 26th, 1973?
He does.
Huh?
Very well.
She does.
Yeah. An F4 tornado hit this town. Winds were estimated to be close to 260 miles. It was very close to being an F5, but only 3 people perished. It was written up as a miracle. But how many of you know what was positioned out in front of Walmart that day? A truck had Willie the Whale and was positioned in front of Walmart, and Walmart was damaged, but the truck wasn't damaged. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, Jonesboro, your years of testing are completed. For 40 years has passed. Mm. For even as it was in 73 that Willie the Whale was so positioned, I swallowed up the Jonas of this city, says God. Mm. And this day I spit them back out. The time of testing is over. And this city shall be known even as Nineveh was known after Jonah was spit out. For the strongest words that I recorded, my word, says the Lord, is Nineveh believed God. And God said, I'm visiting Jonesboro. And that it will be known as a place where people believe God. So rest assured that the time of testing is over. The time that has been, that has called many to become discouraged, many to separate themselves from the truth and the pursuit of purpose. I now, once again, blowing my breath and bringing my river. And I'm saying to you, come frolic in the river with me. Come have fun with me. Come know that I am for you and not against you. Come know that I am here. Come know that that I will do will be greater than even you've dreamed up to this point. For no longer shall it be delayed, but it shall be released, says the Lord. For I'm brooding, I'm flowing, I'm stirring, I'm building. I spent the last season tearing down and rooting up, but it's now time to build, to plant anew, says the Lord. Will you be my hands? Will you be my eyes? Will you be my heart? Will you be the one that will touch those who are downtrodden? Will you be the ones that shall speak words of encouragement? Will you be the ones that will speak words of correction? Will you be the one to go and pick up those that need to be picked up. Will you be the one to extend mercy to those who have thrown it away time and time again? For if you will be, then I'll brood even greater. I'll brood in a manner that you've not seen. I'll come and release. For even as the man of God has spoken, I'll visit this place with such signs and wonder that people will travel from across the state to come here. Not just to be healed, but to be healed and carry it back to where they come from. For that I'll do out of the northeast corner of this state, says the Lord, shall become contagious. For I shall come and brood over a people, and they shall become infected with my spirit and infected with my ways. And those that you touch, they shall become infected, and then they shall carry it to various parts of the state. So rise up, stand up, and allow me to come and walk among you. Allow the angels to come and touch you. Allow the truth that has been spoken this night to be engrafted in within your spirit, that you can rise up with a sword in your hand and a trowel in the other hand and battle off the enemy, but yet build the wall of God. For in doing so, this state will be shifted and it will be touched.
Whenever we came into town, I immediately sensed an open heaven over the city. The things that Dutch were saying about what you've got to begin to do now, you've got to begin to avail yourself of this. You can't just walk away from this meeting and not do the things that the Lord has brought to your attention tonight. Because there's such an open heaven for the level of this river to increase and to flow in this region. And I was telling Clay about that open heaven and the open heaven here. But the other thing was, is that, and I shudder to even go here because I don't even like going to this in this direction. But there's four angels that travel with me, and they showed up tonight. I had not seen them until today. I hadn't seen them since March 22nd when we were in San Antonio. And they showed up here tonight, and I started hearing them having conversations. And one of the conversations was the Mark 16:20 to you. Mark 16:20 says that the disciples went everywhere preaching the word, the Lord confirming the working with them, the Lord confirming the word with signs following. And then he said something to me that I didn't tell you, and I wish I had. He said, "Tell Dutch I've got his back." Yeah, and when you'd said that, that's what I thought of.
No, I'm glad you didn't tell me, because that would have affected me saying it. You know, I would have been thinking, am I saying this just because of that?
Yeah.
So it's good you didn't.
And the other thing that I heard, it was almost like an order came down from headquarters to one of these angels. And they said, Jenny is supposed to be healed. I don't know if there's a Jenny here or you know a Jenny that needs healing.
Jenny or Jenny?
Jenny.
J-E-N-N?
Uh-huh.
Jenny.
That's what I heard. J-E-N-N. Could be a Jennifer. But they were calling it Jenny. Supposed to be healed. You know somebody like that? Huh? You know somebody like that too? And you know somebody like that? Any Jennies or Jennifers here tonight that need healing? Somebody just stretch your hands right there where those people are. Lay hands on those people that raise their hand. These angels said it as if though this was a done deal. And Father, we just decree right now over Jenny. Healing right now in her body. In the name of Jesus. We command restoration, power, and authority. And healing upon them in Jesus' name. And Father, I thank you.
In a minute.
I just hear a admonishment to all of us. I've actually heard this before, but it's been a few years. A few
congregation here when you get together to pray. The Lord said when you gather, don't gather in a circle that looks at each other. Gather in a circle that looks out. Because the Lord is saying to the houses in this area, He said, I'm not interested what goes on inside your walls. I'm very interested about what's going to go on outside your walls. And the Lord said, as a sign of me releasing my spirit, when you meet and pray, you need to begin to turn out and not turn in. He said, all you're turning in is produced up into now. It's something that's introverted, something that's stunned. And the Lord said, if you'll turn it out, I'm going to bring a wind like you've never seen a wind. And He said, this wind is going to be F4 in force, but it's not going to damage houses. It's not going to damage hearts. It's going to change hearts. The Lord said, I'm going to strip away the veneer. He said, I'm going to strip away that false facade that has been put on through the religious spirit that's over this area. And He said, as I strip it away, He said, I'm going to get down to that which is real. And that which is real will just naturally turn out and not turn in. The Lord said, I'm not interested in growing anything that's only going to play church on Sunday. The word I've got is not a pleasant word, but here's what I'm hearing. He said, Arkansas, He's not just speaking to Joan, but He said, Arkansas, it's time to quit practicing safe church. He said, in many houses, all they want to do is come together and be intimate, but they want to protect themselves so they don't have to produce nothing that they have to take responsibility for. And the Lord said, it's time to quit practicing safe church. And He said, it's time to be intimate with me and let me birth something through you. If you'll become a risk taker, the Lord said, I will birth that which is mine and I will take responsibility for it.
I feel like I'm supposed to pray for people tonight for healing. I don't always do this, but I feel like I'm supposed to do it this evening. And I want to turn the focus now to up here. I want you to just worship while we do this. But, you know, in a room like this, if you say anybody needs a healing, come up here. 3/4 of the room needs something, you know, because we all maybe have something minor or to something serious. But what I really want to pray for tonight is I want to pray for serious conditions. Life-threatening, debilitating disease of some sort. Like, I'm not saying if you have your back bothers you once in a while that's insignificant. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about cancer, a tumor. You're diabetic and you're in a place where if something doesn't happen, it's going to be much worse. You have a heart condition, maybe it's very serious. How many of you would say, well, I'm probably one of those. Let me get a feel for how many are in here. I don't want you to be... I don't want you to err on the side of, well, I guess mine's probably not serious enough. I'm not trying to do that. I just don't want 100 people up here. We'll pray over everybody corporately, and we'll lay hands on the more serious. So who are you in here? You think, well, I have a pretty serious situation. Who are you? You don't have to tell us what it is. Okay, I think we can get, this looks to me like it's more than a dozen or 15. You folks come on up here and let's just line up because we're going to pray for you. I'm just going to take the Lord at His word tonight. He's got my back. I'm believing that Mark 16:20 is going to happen. And when we lay hands on these people, God's going to confirm His word. Now, so as you come up, let's go to both sides so they can keep filling in from the middle. Go on down if you would, guys. That's good. And you guys...
And the rest of you just keep coming. Now I'm going to start by just praying over all of us, because I feel like there's some other things here the Lord wants to do that are not quite as serious. And I'm going to pray for you, and then I want you to just worship, okay? After I pray this corporate prayer, I want you to just worship. And we're just going to go down this line and pray over these folks for the next 5-10 minutes. You can stay in support with worship, or you can slip out, but we won't be long. Father, I pray over everyone here that needs a touch. Headaches matter to you. Sore backs matter to you, Lord. Aches and pains, it's all important to you. I pray that your healing power would just hover now and begin to saturate bodies in this room. And that impurities would leave the bloodstream of people. Weaknesses would go. Tears would be healed. Joints would be healed. Arthritis would be healed. Joints that aren't right would be healed. Tendons would be healed. Ligaments would be healed. Bones would be healed. Or touch all over this room.